Hey everyone, happy Sunday. We are officially here for our Sunday weekly warm-up. Brad Hughes is of course here. I've been MIA forever on this show. I'm so glad to be back. We have a lot of things we're going to talk through, some really good strategies for those of you who are looking to spice up your dinner conversations, and we're going to be talking about interviews. If any of you are considering other job opportunities, or maybe you're on an interview panel, this is going to be an opportunity to talk through interview techniques and everything in between. We're going to try and make this as helpful as humanly possible. So stick with us. We'll be right back. We are here for our Sunday weekly warm-up. Make sure you tag a friend as we're slowly getting into the show. And of course, this streams again for everyone to see on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and LinkedIn tomorrow. But right now, we're exclusive in our private Facebook group. Brad, I am so thrilled you let me come back on the show.
There's nothing to let you come back to the show. I'm thrilled that you're back too. It does feel like a wonderful homecoming to have you back in. And I'm glad to see that you're doing well, feeling well, and just reunited. And it feels so good here in the Sunday weekly warm-up space, right?
I will say I've been thinking about you a lot, and I have not missed a show. Like, I've watched every show you've done. I just haven't been live with you because of travel conflicts and because of I had COVID, and that, like, I don't know, that rocked me hard. So I am very, 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 very glad to be back on my favorite show with my favorite host.
You're my co-host with the most on the Lake Michigan coast, and we've got Julie, and we've got others joining us tonight. There's some love hearts, some green hearts for you, Ray Hewitt, from Julianne, and Cheryl's here. Good evening, Cheryl. And if you're joining us live tonight, let us know who you are. Hit us up in the comments. Let us know where you're joining us from. We would love to hear from you. We would love to hear what's coming up for you this Sunday night as you get ready for your week in education, whatever your important role may be. Brian's with us tonight. Good evening, Brian. Brian is in the comments again too, Ray. So welcome back, Ray Hewitt. Tell me what's going on with you.
You know, every time I see Brian's name, I want to talk sports. And actually, Brad, that was what I was going to bring up to you just naturally, because there was an F1 race that I'm sure you watched.
Sure did.
Because you're a big F1 fan. Brian, I know, is a big soccer guy. And I'm just going to put this out there, Brad, because I don't know anyone else's love for this, but it is officially golf season in my world. And I have been golfing 3 times in the last week and a half.
Oh, fantastic. Tell me a little bit about your favorite places to play, your favorite way to play, like best ball or 9 holes, or what do you love to do?
Okay, so this is the first season that I've been able to golf with like both shoulders healthy. Because last season I needed shoulder surgery, had that done in August. So I was very excited. It's been amazing. I've been doing 9 holes. I think I want to get to 18, but 9, I was trying to kind of get a good groove. And Brad, I have golfed at a few different courses. My favorite by far, I just did recently. And I don't know if you're a golfer, but if you ever come into town, I will take you here. My tree, it's called Arrowhead in Wheaton. And I don't know how to describe it, but lots of hills, lots of water. The sand, for whatever reason, is just beautiful, like very light and bright. And it was a tough course. I like walking a course versus using a cart, but it was really good. It was really good.
Do you golf on your own, Ray? Do you go out and walk the 9 by yourself, or do you have friends and colleagues that you golf with?
Yeah, I'm trying to like see who's around to golf with me. I have a lot of friends that golf, my family included, but to be honest, Brad, I might be a little obsessed right now. I would totally go play 9 holes by myself.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of golfers that just enjoy teeing off and taking the course at their own pace. And are you self-taught, Ray, or have you had some golf lessons, or how did this come about for you?
Yeah, so I have a lot of friends and family who are into golf. My mom is the biggest golfer I know. Yeah. And so she's been really trying to get me into it. Last season, she gave me a set of her own clubs, and I was like, okay, maybe I'll try. I feel like I was doing the whole season blind, though. I don't know if anyone else is like this. I literally knew nothing. So it was purely starting from the beginning. And then with the shoulder thing, I was just like, it was the blind leading the blind completely. This season, I like feel healthy. I understand what clubs to use. Actually, today I can officially announce I just bought my own set of clubs.
Oh, great.
I know. So I officially have like irons. I didn't have any irons I was using last season. Yeah, I'm like kind of nerding out. I'm super excited.
You know, it really is a sport where you can continue to grow round over round. It's wonderful to bring people together of all different walks of life. It's a great social game. It's a great game for networking. I think it's a lifetime sport that you can invest in. And gosh, you know, there's no shortage to all of the different equipment or golf balls or golf wear. Are you into golf fashion as well, Ray?
I'm trying, Brad. I'm trying. Because to be honest, I'm not so thrilled with the women's golf wear that's out there. But okay. I will say with my new clubs, I got this sweater today that says golf on it.
So oh, nice.
I'm working on it. So, Brad, are you a golfer? Have you been golfing? Are you a golf person?
I golf occasionally. My favorite thing to do is to go golfing with my brother, who is an avid golfer. And we play best ball. So we both tee off and we'll go and we'll find the ball that is in the right spot at the right time. And I keep working on my slice and I'm getting to the point where I can more consistently drive and play off the tee and play the fairway straighter and straighter. My short game is not too bad either. I like to chip and putt. That's where I come with the best ball. My brother will often drive off and we'll hit a couple of fairway woods. And then when it comes to the short game and the putt game, I can do that.
Nice. See, okay. So my driver was pretty good when I played, like, I think it was Saturday I played. It was really like good, straight, far. Then getting to the green, I suck. But like the driver's good and I enjoy the putting and the chipping and all that. So again, I need to figure out like whatever you use the irons like 4 through 8, I need to figure that part out.
There is really an art to deciding what equipment to play. Depending on every aspect of the game, whether it's the distance or the wind or anything like that, it's just really is just incredible. Do you follow any golfers on Insta or Facebook or on your socials?
Well, I was going to say for anybody here who's not a golfer, that's fine. Don't be a golfer. But watching the Netflix documentary Full Swing was phenomenal. It did exactly what Drive to Survive did for me. So Drive to Survive, for those of you who haven't seen it, is amazing. 6 seasons, all about F1. Like if you're looking for a sports documentary with a little bit of, you know, that's the way to go. Full Swing is then the equivalent for PGA. It highlights LIV. I think that's the way to go to be a fan. That's how I'm like choosing my people to stalk. It's crazy. it's a good hobby. It gets me outside of education is really what it is. Like I do.
That's key. And it's beautiful. Like it can almost be meditative. I mean, if you're going out on your own and you're choosing whether it's maybe a sunrise tee off or at sunset, some people call it a good walk spoiled, but awesome. Just an awesome opportunity to be out just surrounded by nature and doing something that brings you joy. And, you know, many people just find it just so relaxing and contemplative.
Yeah. So for any of you, I know it's considered like it's very well known. Golf is an expensive sport. I really am trying to do it as inexpensive as possible. And for me, Brad, my favorite place to golf just so happens to also be the closest to where I live. And a bucket of balls is $7. So I'm like, I can spend $7. Like that's, I can do that. Like have other people pay for the rounds of golf. I'm going to go to the driving range.
Oh, that's amazing. If you wanted to, could you take advantage of lessons or coaching at that spot too?
They have all of it. So I'm going to be like the biggest advocate ever for this like silly little golf course in Wheaton, but I loved it. So but anyway, I know there's other sports going on, but that's kind of what I've been focusing on the last week or so.
What was a big weekend in Formula One, as you mentioned, the Chinese Grand Prix took place in Shanghai. So we had that on over the weekend. It was the first sprint race and sprint qualification race this season. And the next race coming up in, I think it's the first weekend in May, is actually the Miami Grand Prix.
Miami.
In the US of A.
Yeah, it's May 3rd through the 5th. Brad, I want to know, as far as the F1 race, I didn't watch it, but I saw the standings and I saw the highlights. Were you at all surprised that there was a McLaren that came in second? That felt like a big doozy. I feel like I need to go in and better understand how Norris got all the way up there. That doesn't feel common to me.
Yeah, a little surprised. I think Lando Norris was also surprised that he was second on the podium. He was talking after the race about he actually bet against himself with some of his colleagues in the paddock, that he figured that Ferrari would certainly have more pace than he did, but he crossed the line second ahead of Checo Perez in the Red Bull car. Of course, Max Verstappen leading the race just from the get-go. And, you know, within the first two or three laps, it opened up a gap of probably 3 to 4 seconds, and then just built on that over, you know, lap over lap. So we're a big McLaren fans here at our house. We cheer for Lando Norris, and we love to see all of the different drivers and teams succeed. We love the rivalry, and we just love the technical aspects of the sport as well.
Do you have a favorite team / driver? And those can be different. I know you can have a favorite team and a favorite driver, and they may not be at the same, you know, on the same crew, but
yeah, we're just fascinated with how well Max Verstappen continues to do. I mean, we were just fascinated with his ability and the technical expertise of the Red Bull team. We love seeing McLaren come along, and we root for both of those drivers there. Oscar Piastri is the other driver, along with Lando Norris. Two great guys, two great young guys who are partnering with their McLaren team to try and continue to get better and better in the standings. We love Mercedes, Ferrari. Like we really don't cheer against anybody, Ray. We're just happy to see them succeed, and we just love the personalities.
I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. So fun. You know, Brad, I know that we could talk soccer, we could talk shop about a lot of things, but I wanted to give our community here a little tidbit of if you are struggling to talk to your family over dinner, especially those of you that might have children at home or partners at home, that we could maybe model some questions that could be good reminders on how to continue to foster those conversations. I assume these also could work if you're trying to foster a conversation with a student that you're trying to build a relationship with or anything else. So sports definitely can be one of them. I think that's a great way to build relationships. Are you up for a few other questions I have ready for you?
That sounds amazing. I'm absolutely ready.
Awesome. And then after this, friends, when we get into our Sunday strategies, we are going to talk interview techniques. So if you have any specific interview questions that you want Brad and I to be able to talk through, let us know. Brad, I just looked up like 10 meaningful questions to ask. I said over dinner to loved ones. And there are some interesting ones here that I think we could maybe put in like our back pocket, like our toolkit, to be able to bring these out. One is, what's something that made you smile today, Brad? Could you tell me something that made you smile?
My daughter's birthday is today, Ray. So that made us smile. And we were reminiscing through some baby photos and some baby memories that my wife crafted soon after Megan was born 22 years ago today. So that made us smile. And what came up for you? What made you smile today?
Yeah, I would love anybody in the comments. We'd love to hear what made you smile today. Make it short, make it sweet. Don't work too hard. Made me smile today, honestly, getting my irons. Like, I feel like that was a big adult purchase, and I am like geeking out. Like, I literally drove from the store where I bought them to a driving range to be able to hit with them. So I'm like very excited to have this as a part of my repertoire for the season. So I'm excited That's about brilliant. That. The second one says, what goal are you currently working towards? That could be an interesting one. Maybe something personal or professional. How can I support you better is a great question. That's always good to keep in the back of your pocket. What is a cherished memory from your childhood? That would be a really interesting one to foster some deep conversation. Mm-hmm. I like this one, Brad, and I would love for you to answer it if you're willing. This says, what's something you've learned recently? I think that's a really great question, even adult to adult, that could foster a healthy conversation too.
I can't think of anything specific, but I can tell you that I try to approach every day with that learner's mindset. And I just try to get and stay curious about kids' lives and the lives of the adults where I work in our elementary school. And I'm also really passionate about art and woodworking. So I continue to learn different techniques and learn what it takes to really make a client happy. So I love learning and I love staying in that learner's mindset, right?
Well, and Brad, I feel like if I asked this to you, I'd be like, what's something you can teach me? Like, give me a fun fact, because you're full of fun facts. So it's not even about like, oh, tell me the most recent thing you learned, but tell me something you don't think I know. And like, that could be a really fun way to trade, you know, cool little tips and tricks. That would be really cool.
I love that question. Tell me something that you don't think that you already know about me, or maybe tell me something that you don't think anyone knows about you. It doesn't have to be sort of a deep, dark secret. It can just be something that, that lights you up, or something that rarely comes to mind in terms of conversation. Does anything come to mind for you, right? Like something that maybe very, very few people know, but you think is an important sort of facet of you?
I have the worst answer because it's so relevant. I literally just had this happen. There's a better answer somewhere deep in my mind. But before we came on the show, I was scrolling through Instagram and I was learning the different breeds of turtles in the ocean.
Oh. What?
And I'm such a sucker for like my personal Instagram, not my professional one, but my personal one is very much like ocean, water, what creatures, what's going on. I love the ocean. So apparently there's lots of breeds of turtles, Brad.
Well, you're into turtles. I had no idea that you're into turtles. That is really, really cool.
I mean, they're so pretty when they're swimming. Like, can you really say looking at an underwater camera with a turtle going through the ocean isn't like the very relaxing?
I'd love to know from our viewers tonight, to what's on your Instagram feed that might surprise even the people closest to you. It could be sea turtles or sea anemones, or I don't know, maybe you're obsessed with lacrosse or the solar system. Like what's coming up on your feed that might surprise others to know about you?
Ooh, I did, Brad, and I don't know if you've seen it, because again, this happened right before the show, but I sent you something. Brad and I have a little thing where we send each other stuff on Instagram that's usually like a good heartfelt story, something interesting. I don't know why I sent this to you, Brad, but it was so cool. It was a picture of Mercury in front of the sun, and you could see the difference in size. Let me just, spoiler alert, the difference in size is like appalling. I mean, it's like Mercury's like a dot and there's this huge picture. And I was like, oh, Brad needs to know this. I'm going to send this to him on Instagram.
That is exactly right up my alley. I haven't seen it yet, but as soon as we get off the air, I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, it was super good. See, I like that stuff. All right, other questions you might want to put in your toolbox for questions to ask people, your loved ones, family members, people that you are working with at school. What's a place you're dreaming of traveling to? What's a book or movie that's impacted you? What's a skill or hobby you'd like to pursue? What's your favorite? Oh, I love this one. What's your favorite tradition or ritual in your family? That one would be so cool to ask students or adults. I love that one. The last one here just says, what's something you're grateful for right now? So little tidbits, little things to consider.
These are back pocket questions that you can have ready for any interaction. It could be someone that you've just met, or it could be someone that you want to get to know better. All of us in education, we're taking stock of, you know, the relationships that we have and the relationships that we want to continue to invest in. Right? Those questions are just fantastic for that, for just that occasion.
Well, hopefully it gives people something extra as they head into their week of little conversation starters they can have, or continue to build relationships with people virtually that you're connected with in your PLN or that you're seeing in person. Brad and I are going to get into some interview strategies and techniques. So if you are interested in that, please stick with us. And of course, if you have a friend that's a part of our Teach Better family, especially as we're streaming live exclusive in our private Facebook group, this would be a great spot to tag a friend and say, hey, they've been talking about something that you and I are both interested in. And maybe you guys are looking for some interview ideas, whether it be because you are on the interviewer end or the interviewee end. We'll be talking through that. So stick with us. Hey, everyone. Thanks for sticking with us here on the Sunday Weekly Warm-Up. My name is Ray Hewitt. We have Brad Hughes, our host with the most. We're so excited to get into conversation about interviews. This is the season. It is late April. Many people have been applying to jobs or considering a move for a position. We'd love to make sure you feel supported with that process. Brad, obviously with your background in a principal role, you have had not only a lot of interviews yourself as somebody interviewing for new jobs, but I assume you also have been a part of the hiring process, which gives you such a great perspective in this.
100%. As we were just discussing just before we got on air, I just completed a cycle of job interviews for a long-term occasional position at our elementary school, went through 16 applications and selected an interview pool and interviewed for this teaching position, a fourth and fifth grade teaching position with an admin partner, and really enjoy that process and see it as an opportunity to get to know candidates through the process, as well as, you know, for all candidates, whether or not they're selected for the position or not, an opportunity to help them grow their interview skills through some feedback afterward.
Yeah, Waya really enjoyed coaching future teachers. When I was in the classroom, I was affiliated with a lot of work being done at Illinois State University, and we would host mock interviews for them to talk shop and practice. And it's not easy. It's very nerve-wracking, and it's definitely a learned skill. So if you feel like you could use some work in interviews, we definitely want to be here to support you. And then we're always here for conversations after the fact. If you guys want to get into more specifics, I hope you choose to reach out to Brad or I or anybody on the team to be able to talk shop about interviews, depending on what type of role you might be interviewing for. Brad, to start us off, do you mind sharing a little bit? You just conducted interviews. What do you feel like was a common theme that you want to highlight as a good element of someone interviewing for a position?
One thing that came up that was sort of a common thread was when candidates are able to really paint a picture for me as an interviewer and for the interview team about how their practice, about how their choices, their decisions, their moment-to-moment interactions with kids and learning can really come to life through some really specific and positive anecdotes. And so, you know, successful candidates have a knack for capturing their teaching experience along the way and then being able to express what's happening, what's coming up for them, what they're learning, maybe what setbacks they encountered, but ultimately how their actions with kids translate into improved outcomes for them, whether it's academic outcomes or social emotional outcomes. So the candidates that we interviewed recently really had that gift of responding to our questions by sharing some well-chosen anecdotes to really paint a picture for us about what life is like in their classrooms.
I think that's really helpful for people to do when they lean into stories to be able to accomplish that. When they answer a question that's presented to them in an interview, it's a wonderful idea for people that are responding to be able to get into a little bit of an example or a story for how they either have or would approach a certain conversation versus just saying, oh, this is my thoughts. But the story element, I think, is a really valuable way to answer questions, simply because most teachers, I find, or most administrators, I find, when they're telling a story that they've actually experienced or they're connecting it back to a student that they've met, everything kind of lightens up on their face, right? If you're a little too hypothetical, it doesn't brighten you. But if we're able to say, gosh, you know, I've never been in that situation, but one of my students, Kelsey, I can see this happening with her. And if that had happened with her, this is how I'd approach it. And just even saying the student's name, it really, like, as a teacher, it's going to brighten you up to become more warm as somebody that is in that interview position.
And that's really the opportunity that we as principals and others that are leading interviews have, is to be intentional about inviting the teacher or the educator that's in that interview space, whether it's in person or virtual, to tell us and to show us what lights them up about what they do. There's a question here from Cheryl I wanted just to pop on there. And Cheryl's wondering about how to find that balance as someone being interviewed, someone, an applicant to the job, really coming through who you are as an individual versus giving answers that the committee wants to hear. And Ray and Cheryl, I can just tell you from my personal experience, and it may differ from others that you've met in an interview, but right from the get-go, I let applicants know that this space, this time is for them. It's for you. And I, as an interviewer and as a prospective principal and school leader for you, would much rather have you have the opportunity to answer authentically, answer in a way that lets us know who you are, what lights you up about education, as opposed to, you know, candidates are often coached to make sure you touch on this or make sure you say that, or you can call them talking points, or, you know, I would much rather candidates be as authentic as possible, even if it reveals experiences that you haven't had yet, or if it reveals setbacks that you've had along the way. I just want candidates to know that we know that interviewing is stressful enough. I want to make sure I'm creating the conditions where candidates can be themselves and just really let us know authentically from the heart where they are as an educator.
Well, and to your point, Brad, I love an interviewee that is able to emphasize their desire to learn and then just speak from their heart. I think so much of interviewing that we forget is the committee, the principal, whoever's doing the interview, conducting the interview, will they want to work with you? Are you somebody that they're going to be willing to see every day in the lounge, to engage with, talk through student problems? And it's, you know, if you weren't qualified, you wouldn't be there, right? That they've already gone through seeing if you have their credentials. So as much as the buzzwords are so important to work in, there are also things that you can admit you may not be as familiar with, be eager to learn, and then just be somebody that we want to work with. Because when I want to work with somebody and they're willing to be a learner in that atmosphere, I mean, that's how we do a lot of hiring on the Teach Better team. I will admit that, you know, the qualifications are minimal. It's so much more about, is this person somebody that I'm going to want to talk to day in, day out, and have that collaboration with?
Whenever we have an opportunity to welcome educators into an interview, we want to make sure that they are the right fit for us, but also as interviewers and presenters, they're interviewing us as well as principals and school leaders. It's a space where, you know, you as an applicant can decide if this is the correct fit for you. That's why I prefer to have interviews framed in a way that we're getting to know each other through the interview process. And at the end, whether or not you're the successful applicant or not, there is a more of an understanding amongst us as educators, as people that, you know, serve and want to serve a district and work with kids. And you know, that often it's that opportunity for feedback following an interview that can really, really encourage an applicant, especially if he or she is newer to the interview process, encourage an applicant to stick with it and continue to grow not only their practice as educators, but grow their experience being interviewed for these important positions.
I will say, Brad, something that I do believe is overlooked in interviews is body language. I would really love to emphasize for anybody preparing for a role, hoping to get an interview, a few different things, obviously, we want to talk about, but one of which is body language, being able to present yourself well, wear something you're comfortable with that is appropriate, feel good, look good, and you know, sit up straight. I think body language is such an important opportunity that sometimes those rooms when you're interviewing can feel very stiff.
Sure.
Bring your personality. If you talk with your hands like I do, bring your personality. That's going to be a big part of making sure that you feel authentic, but also it relaxes other people in the room when somebody comes in and just can bring that personality, bring that confidence.
You mentioned the importance of importance of having an opportunity to do a mock interview or to do a practice interview. I think in general, many interviews are structured along both academic but also social emotional priorities. It's important to team up with a colleague or maybe a school leader in your own building if you're interviewing outside, and just someone that you know and trust that can talk you through how interview questions might be posed and kind of how to structure your interview answer so that you are answering in a detailed and authentic way, but also your thoughts are organized. You've got a clear way in and you've got a clear way out of each interview question and scenario.
Brad, I don't mean to put you on the spot because we didn't prepare for this, but would you be willing to model that Can we maybe go back and forth with a few very standard questions and kind of on the spot give our answers and talk through feedback? I mean, they won't be perfect because you and I aren't perfect in our interviews, but we've done them a few times. And geez, I love being able to be a critic to myself. So this might be a cool opportunity.
I think it sounds great. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So if anybody has questions here, feel free to throw them in the comments. But Brad, I know the first one that's always asked is, well, tell us a little about yourself. So I feel like that's one. You know the question's going to come. Why not prepare for it?
It's a perfect question, and it's an opportunity for you to really set the scene for the interview questions that are going to follow. So it's a chance for you to really bring out what your heart as an educator might be, talking about not only your experiences, but maybe what brought you to education and what keeps you involved, what keeps you engaged with education, and making the connection between who you are and the position that you're applying for as well.
And I love that. It's also a great place to emphasize those qualifications you have that you want them to know and highlight a little bit about you. So Brad, if you don't mind, I'm going to give an answer totally on the spot here. And will Perfect. You criticize what I do and give some feedback?
Absolutely.
All right. So, okay. You just asked me to tell a little bit about myself.
Yeah.
I would take a deep breath, try not start with an That would be like the big one for me. I'd say, hi, everyone. My name is Ray Hewart. I'm currently the CXO and co-owner of the Teach Better team. My background is in middle-level education after I earned my bachelor's degree and my master's degree from Illinois State University. I also have actually worked with future educators being on faculty at Illinois State for a number of years to be able to highlight the growth that education can make. And my passion for mastery learning has really been something that I've been able to work on. In addition to that, I have two fun dogs, and I grew up in a very, very supportive community. It's actually how I got into education, was my struggle being a student and then being able to see how that supportive environment really allowed me to be successful. So I'm very appreciative to have this opportunity and eager to get to know you guys throughout this interview.
You're hired.
No, I really lost my train of thought halfway through.
That wasn't evident at all. And what I love about your introduction to yourself was how you wove sort of the story of you, the story of your sort of educational journey. Also came back to it being very personal, being reflective on your own experiences as a student, and determined to integrate what you've learned and how you learned it into your life as an educator as well.
Super fun. It's also a great spot to put those buzzwords that you may want people in the interview to ask you about. For me, I was trying, not successfully, I don't think, but I was trying to integrate mastery learning. Maybe that was something they'd ask me more about. It's something I'm very passionate about. So it'd be something that kind of opened that door. And I don't know, for me, Brad, sometimes adding in that really personal touch, like having dogs, allows somebody else to be like, oh, we love dogs. And you're like, oh, tell me more. And you know, it's like, kind of that personal banter can happen a little bit there too.
One caution about buzzwords, Ray, is if we're using buzzwords, if we're incorporating something that may be a district priority or a state priority, we also have to be willing and ready to back that up in terms of those anecdotes or in terms of how we live or how we put those buzzwords or put those priorities into practice. Frequently, I'll ask a question and a candidate will say, well, I think such and such is so important. And I agree, it's important. And that's why we ask the question. So we want to shift from how you feel about or your opinion about how important something may or may not be. And we want to shift to how do you put that priority into action? What would that look like if I stopped by your classroom? What would it look like if we're having a conversation about it in the office? What does that look like in practice?
Well, and I think to your point, Brad, sometimes, and maybe this is just me, but sometimes somebody will use a buzzword and I'm not 100% what they, I don't completely know the word or the term. Maybe I'm interviewing in a different state and there's different jargon, or just to be honest, I need to continuously like increase my vocabulary. Sometimes I'm just unfamiliar. And if I ask them to tell me a little bit more about it, if I'm comfortable doing that, I typically am able to make a connection. It's not a foreign topic I've never heard of in education. But another thing that might be helpful in practicing interview techniques is practicing what you're going to do if you're confused by the question. Because the reality is that with the nerves and with the people and all the things going on internally, I know I'll end up being confused, tripping over my words and struggling. So kind of preparing for that can be a really good step in the right direction.
It's such a good point, because there may be a time if you're interviewing out of state or out of district that they're asking you about a priority or about some kind of a topic or a buzzword that you may not be familiar with. I think it's appropriate to stop and ask for clarification. Yeah, you can let the interviewers know that you'd like more information about that, or could you rephrase that or help me understand a little bit more about what you mean? Giving you also time to kind of frame your thoughts and to respond according to your own context. And ultimately, if you can, bringing your context, your experiences, your lived experience into the context of the district and the position that you're interviewing for.
Brad, I really like, even in your response here, you gave two or three quick one-liners that you can practice in the mirror before you go in, that can be a go-to one-liner that when you get a little tripped up and there's the butterflies in your stomach, it can easily come out because you've practiced saying it. One of them, I'm going to butcher it, but I think somebody, would you mind telling me a little bit more about that?
For sure.
Just a quick phrase. Honestly, that's not a phrase I use very often, even though, Brad, I know you do frequently. But if I practiced that phrase and like had it in my back pocket, that could be something that at any point I could say, gosh, I would really appreciate if you could tell me just a little bit more about that. And then I would love to respond to your question.
Yeah. And another approach is to restate or reframe what you think they're asking. So you could say, for example, what I think I'm hearing is, and you can restate it for them, giving them an opportunity to correct or refine or get you back on track if you're not quite on track there too.
I love that, Brad, because I've been in so many interviews where we asked a question and the person responded and had nothing to do with what we asked. And that might be one of my biggest fears. So I love, this is again, something I know you do very commonly, because when I get to talk to you, you are so eloquent in the way you communicate. But one of them is, that clarifying what you hear or what you heard, that is awesome, because I'll save you an answer that you waste everyone's time because it doesn't have to do with what you're talking about. I love that. That's great.
It's an awful feeling. And I've been in the middle of an interview or answering questions where you feel lost and you feel you're off track and you don't kind of get yourself back on track. It might also be just a second to take a pause and just kind of share a laugh or like just be as lighthearted as you can and say, I'm not sure if I'm on track here. Can we just take a second and restate, reframe, and can I get a do-over? Or with your golf experience, yeah, maybe just ask for a mulligan, right?
But seriously, like, that is so good. And I think, Brad, that those moments do bring out your personality if you're able to practice the recovery, because it's not about being perfect, but you do want to make sure that when and if you get tripped up, you respond to it in a way that is personable, right? You're going to trip up in the job too, if you get it. So you might as well practice, gosh, I'd really love a do-over. Is this what you're specifically looking for? How can I make sure to do this well?
You can also take advantage of an opportunity if the interview team provides it at the end. Frequently, we'll ask candidates, is there anything they'd like to ask or anything that you'd like answered? So that would be an opportunity for you to pose your questions about the role. You can pose a question like, in your view, who is the ideal candidate for this position? Or something else that I like to hear is when candidates are eager to know what other opportunities for service or leadership might exist in our school or on the campus. So you can use those clarifying questions to signal to the interview team that, for the 15 to 20 minutes that you've answered their questions, you've got a lot more to offer, and you can sort of give them a little bit of a taste of what it might be like having you on their staff.
Yeah. Keep in the back of your mind, you want like three questions to ask at the end of your interview. Brad, I love that as a first one. What does the ideal candidate look like? That's a really easy one. And by the way, friends, depending on the interview, bring a notebook with these three questions written down. You do not have to memorize them, But write that one down. That's a great way for people to clarify what they're looking for. Maybe they'll mention something that you want to further clarify or add to for the interview. So that's a great way to make sure you covered your bases. The second one, Brad, I really like to ask is, in one word, how would you describe working in this building? What I really like about that question is it may not give you much as the interviewee, but it's going to really bring personality to the room because you're asking people to talk about themselves and their school, which usually is a very prideful moment for them. And you kind of get to know the personalities of the team. Are they going to be able to chuckle back and forth at each other's answers? Or that's really going to give you perspective on the people in the room more than anything else. Mm-hmm. And Brad, I think a third question similar to what you said was, you know, I would clarify your interest and maybe ask about resources. So, you know, before we wrap up, I really just wanted to thank you guys for having me. I really enjoyed this conversation and, you know, you all seem so wonderful in the work that you're doing. I hope to hear very soon. Would you mind sharing the timeline for this interview? Because I would be really interested in this being something that I move forward with. So a timeline's a great way to kind of wrap it up.
I think the way that you respond to either an offer of the position or even feedback that you were not the successful candidate can leave a lasting and positive impression with any interview team. I've been in situations where I've shared news with a candidate that they were not selected, but they responded with grace, with gratitude for the opportunity, as well as an eagerness to seek and incorporate feedback for growth. And for me, that leaves a really positive impression as a hiring principal, because if I happen to see that person's name again, maybe they weren't they were in terms of the ranking, they weren't ranked the highest candidate, but sometimes they have an opportunity to hire back to a position that you're offering. You'll see that name again, and you'll remember how that feedback was received and how they indicated positivity and appreciation for the opportunity.
Well, and I think that's the exact, I know that that happens more often than not within the Teach Better team. We'll interview a few candidates and to be honest, they're all qualified and all amazing. One ends up being the one that we get the role for, but it's very rare that we forget like, ooh, this was a good personality. The next moment we have the opportunity to, they need to be up on our list to figure out how to include. So I think that is a huge element of this. And you all know networking's huge. So maybe you don't get the role, but that could be a great contact in the future. So being very generous and appreciative is fine. And then having a vent session, you could be upset you don't get the job. Like call one of us. Brad and I will hop on the phone. We could have a vent session with you. And like, it's okay. It's okay to have emotion. It's okay. This process is really tricky, but the communication back and forth between the interviewee and the interviewer needs to be as respectful as possible. Always.
How you handle disappointment really speaks to one's character, and interviewers also know that receiving the news that you don't want it's hard, it's tough, and by the time you reach a selected pool of candidates, each and every one has their own strengths and gifts, and what you have to know is that you are important in your role, and sometimes it's said, you know, thousands of kids, one you. There's going to be a just right position for you to make your contribution to kids. I hope it doesn't sound cliche, but just stick with it. Just know your value and know that your role and your what you bring to education and to kids is needed and valued.
So good. Friends, if you ever want to talk interviewing, whether it be you're the interviewer and you want to craft the right questions to get the right type of answers from the people that you are interviewing, and or the flip side, if you are interviewing for jobs and you want to really make sure that you're putting your best foot forward, Brad and I would love to do a mock interview. Brad, I'm just signing you up for this. I assume that you'd be interested.
100%.
This is something that we really just enjoy doing. It doesn't have to be a big thing. It doesn't have to be something you prepare or stress over, but just know that we have a number of different experiences where we would love to help you be as successful as possible. So if any of you are interested in that, or if you have a friend or colleague interested in that, that could be something we set up. I know, Brad, when we used to do mock interviews with college students, we would do them in kind of like a small panel and have it be very discussion focused. It's really just about practicing and learning from one another. So a small group is always a great way to go, and you can reach out to us anytime to talk through anytime. That. Love it. Brad, we have usually a moment where we do our Sunday spark. Do we have that prepared this week?
100%.
Really?
Okay. Really?
Oh my God, how exciting. All right, we'll be right back for our Sunday spark. Friends, I love that it's Sunday and we have a Sunday spark as we wrap up our conversation. Brad, what do you have for us as our Sunday spark?
Ray, you may have heard that there was a pretty big music release this weekend. Taylor Swift released not one, but two album-length new releases this weekend. I'm not sure. Were you up for the midnight release, Ray?
I have not seen midnight in a long time. But I did wake up to all of the information, and so I feel very caught up on the experience. But yeah, people were not only awake, but eager, and then awake again at the 2 a.m. release.
Well, I want to ask you about your or maybe other people's falling asleep strategies. Maybe it includes listening to music or listening to the soothing sounds of nature. And this story I thought was really cool. This comes to us from Only Good News Daily. .com And the headline is "Nature to Receive Royalties from Streaming Platforms," Ray. So whenever artists on major streaming platforms, including Spotify and Apple Music, use natural sounds in their recordings, they can choose to list nature or Mother Nature as a featured artist, and a share of the profits from that track will be distributed to environmental causes. Brian Eno, a celebrated musician and producer, said, "It's a way of saying to artists, we all use sounds like seagulls and waves and wind. Why don't we pay nature a royalty? Hopefully, if it's a river or a torrent or a flood of royalties, and then what we do is distribute that among groups of people who are working on projects that help us deal with the future." So you can list nature on the artist page on Spotify or Apple Music or your favorite streaming service. And for those tracks, at least 70% of the profits will fund conservation programs, Ray. How about that? What? Mother Nature as an artist on Spotify and Apple Music.
I love this. This is so cool. I am I'm a huge fan of like nature sounds when I go to sleep. If I leave TV on, I'll just watch it forever. Sometimes yeah. I leave comedy, like stand-up comedy on. And that just like, I'll listen to it forever and I won't fall asleep. Then again, if I do nature sounds, I'm usually out very quickly because it's just so calming. I love this. I can't believe we've never done this before. I hope this takes off. I hope this takes off.
What I love about the Sunday Spark stories and just the little research that I do to kind of bring something to us every Sunday is just where people are finding ways to do good in the world with the typical systems and processes that we already have. It really is quite inspiring. So, I mean, if you're watching and listening tonight or maybe later on this week, just search up good news in the world and bring that to your colleagues, bring that to your kids, bring it to your kitchen table. Just it's amazing to see how these small actions within the systems that we normally have are making a difference. And it really is creative and really is quite inspiring. And in a news cycle where there can be a lot of bad news, a lot of dire news, close to home and around the world, you know, just a little spark of good news. I hope that we're bringing to you, brings you some inspiration and some joy for your week ahead.
I love this. That was a great Sunday spark. I'm so glad that we were able to do that.
Appreciate that.
We've been able to have a lot of conversation over the last hour of our Sunday weekly warm-up. We started with conversation about sports, let's be honest, but it transitioned into dinner table conversations, good questions to foster relationships. Then we went into interviewing strategies, and now we're wrapping up here with our Sunday spark. If you missed any part of it, we hope you go back and listen. Our Sunday weekly warm-up streams exclusive in our private Facebook group over at teachbettergroup.com, but then it does stream everywhere where the Teach Better community can get it on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and LinkedIn, as well as an episode of Teach Better Talk podcast on Monday nights after our Sunday stream. So friends, we hope you take advantage of the incredible free information that Teach Better is constantly trying to share and celebrate educators in this world. And hopefully there are a few things in here that you were able to take away from today's episode. Brad, thanks for letting me come back to the show. I really love hanging out with you. That's really what this is. I just love it.
It's just been a great show. So great to have you back. Welcome back, Ray Heward. And always great to team up with you. And thanks to those that are joining us live tonight. So many great comments and so much encouragement. Ray and I really appreciate you taking time to join us now.
Yeah, I haven't clicked on the comment button on my end, and so it's been counting it. We have over 47 comments that happened during this stream. So really good to see people interacting with it.
Hope everyone has a wonderful rest of the Sunday, and Ray wishing everybody a wonderful week ahead too.
Yep. We will have an interview next week and for the next few weeks as we wrap up our show at the end of May for a summer break, but we'll see you soon, friends. Bye. Until then.